Going to look at verses 161 through 168. Look at verses 161 through 168. The main focus tonight will be on verse 165. I'm going to speak to you tonight on peace for a Christian. Peace for a Christian. How do you and I obtain peace in times of trouble, in a world gone mad, in bad situations? How do we keep from becoming offended and keep on serving the Lord instead of being offended? And that was the psalmist. He says that he has great peace. And so how do you and I, as Christians, obtain peace and keep peace in spite of ourselves many times and in spite of the world around us? Three things that we're going to look at, three great things that we'll look at this evening that we must have, three qualities that we must have in order to continue to serve the Lord without being offended. So let's read verses 161 through 168. The psalmist says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Psalmist there talks about being persecuted without a cause in verse number 1, but yet he goes on and says that his heart is fixed upon the word of God, even in spite of those persecutions. He continues to praise God 7 times a day. He hates lying, he abhors lying, but he loves the law of God, he loves the word of God. And we can see there that his heart is firmly fixed upon the Word of God. And we all know that Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. We've looked at several messages from it. And tonight we're going to look at how we can obtain peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us so richly and so greatly. Lord, sometimes we forget about how good that you are to us. Lord, and that's why we're here tonight. We're here to remember how good that you are to us. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening to learn what you would have for us to learn. Lord, we have nothing apart from you. We need your wisdom. We need your spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. There's no way that we'd want to attempt this on our own. So, Lord, I pray that you would walk us through this and help us and show us what you'd have for us tonight. Lord, we pray for this water situation in our town. We pray for those who are working on fixing the water. We pray that you'd give them strength and give them wisdom and help them to get this fixed in a timely manner. We pray for those who are without water and might need water. Father, we pray that you would send someone to them and that you'd give them strength through this. And you'd help us all in this trying time. And Lord, just help us tonight as we worship you and look at your word. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we obtain peace in this world? Thomas Watson, he's lived a long, long time ago. Long, long time ago. He said, "If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble." Jesus Christ said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world." How are we going to have peace in this life? How are we going to keep going as Christians, not fall by the wayside, not stop serving God, but keep going and serving God and being faithful to Him in times of trouble, when we feel like quitting, when we feel like giving up, when we feel like doing something else besides serving God or obeying His commandments, what do we do? Well, the Bible is given to us to give us comfort and give us hope in this world, because this world can be a pretty crummy place. And God has given us the Holy Scriptures to help us and to prod us on so that we can continue and not be offended and quit serving God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." In this world, we're going to have disagreements with people. We're going to have people in our life that we just can't get along with. They might even be fellow believers. They might be lost people. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have disagreements. We're going to come in contact with unbelievers who don't like us just simply because we're Christians. They don't like what we stand for. They don't like the Bible. They don't like the authority that it projects on them. They don't like that. And Jesus Christ said that the world is going to hate you, and don't be surprised if it does hate you. And sometimes that might make us want to quit. Might make us want to be unfaithful. But I'm here to tell you this evening that we can go forward and we can be faithful to God and we can be faithful stewards of the things that He's given to us. We can go on. God is a God of patience. God is a God of comfort. God is a God of help. Whenever Paul the Apostle wrote those words in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, he said that God would grant us that we could be like-minded as Christians and we could glorify God with one mouth and with one mind, and we could keep going forward even in times of persecution, even in times of trouble. We can keep going forward. And that's what it's all about here this evening. It's all about bringing glory and bringing honor to God. And a Christian who quits on God or who quits on their Christianity is not bringing honor and glory to God. But we can. By the grace of God, we can keep going and we can keep honoring God and we can keep serving God, even in the midst of bad situations, without becoming offended, without something becoming a stumbling block or a problem or an obstacle to us. Without that thing stopping us. That's what it means to be offended. He says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." To become offended means that there's a stumbling block in your way, and you trip over it, and you stop, and you don't get back up, and you quit serving the Lord. But the psalmist says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So we can keep on going. I think about Demas, and he was one of Paul's helpers in 1 or 2 Timothy, one of the two. And he says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." The world became a stumbling block to Demas, and he quit serving the Lord and quit helping Paul in his missionary journeys because his heart had departed from the work of God and the Word of God. But the psalmist says, "Great peace had they which love thy law." It's our heart that is the problem. It's what we love that is the problem. And the reason that someone would stop serving God and would stop doing, keeping the commandments of God is because of their heart. So instead of getting offended when trouble comes, how are we going to maintain peace and serenity in this life? What are we going to do? There's three qualities in view for the child of God to avoid offense and continue in faithfulness to God. Three great things. The first thing is you must have a great love. The second thing is you must have great peace. And the third thing is that you have great freedom. Great love, great peace, and great freedom. The reason that the psalmist could go forward and be faithful to God is because of where his heart was at and who he was as a child of God. He had a great love. He says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." Love thy law.
The reason that he wanted to obey God and he wanted to do what was right is because his heart was in the right place. It was his identity. It's who he was. Would you be in the number of those that love thy law? He says, great peace have they which love thy law. Are you one of the theys here this evening that love the law of God? You love the word of God. We see the psalmist's great love for the word of God in just these few verses. People that don't love the word of God usually don't serve God. Because they don't care. I mean, they might say a few words, but they don't really care about serving God because their heart is not in it. The psalmist loved the word of God. He says in verse number 161, he says, my heart stands in awe of thy word. He looks at the word of God, he says, man, God is awesome. Look at what he has said in his word. Verse 162 says, I rejoice in at thy word. It's one that finds great spoil. It was valuable to him. He treasured the word of God above anything else that he had. Verse 163 says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love thy law. He did not like and he hated sin and rebellion against God, but he loved the law of God. Does that mean that the psalmist was perfect and he never sinned? Absolutely not. Nobody is except for Jesus Christ, but yet he had a love for the word of God. Verse 164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Seven times a day. Verse 167 says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them. I love them exceedingly. The psalmist had a love for the word of God, and he could go forward without being offended, and he had peace in his heart because he loved the word of God. His heart was inclined to the word of God, and we know that he loved the word of God because he obeyed the word of God. Not just that he said it, but that he obeyed it. He didn't obey it or say the things that he was saying strictly out of duty or obey it strictly out of a duty, but he obeyed it because he wanted to. It was because he wanted to obey the word of God. He loved God and he loved his word. It wasn't because, well, I have to do these things, and so, man, I really don't want to, but I will, because if I don't, well, then I might go to hell, or something might happen to me. You know, that wasn't his mindset. His mindset was, no, I want to. I want to obey God. I want to obey his word. I'd like to ask you this evening, why do you do the things that you do? Why do you serve God? If you serve God, why do you serve God? Is it because, well, a bolt of lightning might come out of the sky and strike me, and so therefore I better do this or I better do that? Or is it because, well, I want to serve God? I mean, we all ought to fear God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't fear God, but do you want to serve God out of a heart of love? Is your service motivated by love, or is it motivated by something else? Because if it's not motivated by love, then you have the wrong motivation. Is it because you want people to see you as spiritual or holy or something like that? We think of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, and they did all of their works for God because they were concerned about their reputation. That was their main motivation. And Jesus Christ said, all of their works that they do, every one of them, are done so that they can be seen of men. That's why they do their works. He said in Matthew chapter 23, but all their works do they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms of the feast. They love all of these things because they are concerned about the way that people are viewing them. They want to be viewed as religious. They really didn't love God. They did not love Jesus Christ, and they did not love his word. As a matter of fact, they loved their tradition instead of the word of God. They had the wrong motivation for the things that they were doing. Do you and I here this evening have the right motivation for our service to the Lord? Jesus Christ, again, in Matthew chapter 6, wanted to warn his disciples not to call attention to themselves whenever they served God, because he was afraid that they were doing all of their works for the wrong motivations. He said, when you give your alms, don't give them where everyone else can see them. Don't sound a trumpet. Don't let everyone know that you're giving. As a matter of fact, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Do it in secret. And your Father, which seeth you in secret, will reward you openly. He said, you better watch your motivations. I'd like to say that to all of us here this evening, a warning to all of us. What is our motivation for serving the Lord? He said, whenever you pray, don't go out into the street corner where everyone can see you and they praise you and say, wow, look how spiritual they are. They're actually praying on the street corner. No, he says, when you pray, go into your prayer closet where no one can see you, and your Father, which seeth you in secret, will reward you openly. Don't pray just so everyone can see you. Now, they love to give, and they love to pray. Is there anything wrong with those things? No, we ought to do all of those things. But our motivation is what counts. Not just the work, but our motivations for serving the Lord. Jesus Christ said, you're doing all of these things so you can have glory of men. And right now, you are getting your rewards instead of getting something later in heaven. You're getting it right now because your motivation is in the wrong place. Your heart is in the wrong place. All of these works that the Pharisees were doing, Jesus Christ said the Pharisees draw nigh to God with their mouth, but their heart is far from the Lord. Yes, they had the right profession. Yes, they had the right words, but their heart was far from the Lord. They were more concerned about their tradition. They were more concerned about keeping the traditions of man than keeping the word of God. Their heart was far from the Lord. Motivations were wrong. They were superficial and hypocritical. They were only giving lip service. What motivates you to serve God? The psalmist says, I love the law of God, and I can go forward, and I can continue because I love the law of God. Are you in that number? Do you love the law of God? Where is your heart at this evening? Because you will dedicate your time, your money, and your resources to the things that you love the most. Take warning and take heed here this evening. Do you love God and do you love His Word? Take inventory of your life tonight. Look at the things that you dedicate your life to, dedicate your time to, dedicate your money to. Is it to serving God and obeying the Word of God? Because if it's not for God, if it's not to please and to glorify God, you won't last and I won't last. Because our heart is in the wrong place. You might go and I might go for a little bit, but if your heart is not set upon the law of God, you will stop and you will fall away. Just like Demas did that we just talked about a few moments ago. If we're going to avoid offense, we must love the law of God. It must be a great love. The psalmist says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love the law of God tonight? A great love for the Word of God produces a great peace in the child of God. That's the next thing that we must have, and that's a great peace in our hearts. Boy, everybody's looking for peace, aren't they? And they need peace. It's a necessity. The psalmist says, great peace have they which love thy law. He had obtained a peace in his heart that no one else could explain and no one else was experiencing. I submit to you here this evening that the reason that he had that great peace is because of the object of his faith and his love. And it was on something that would not change and would not fail him. If you have your heart and your mind and your motives set on something else besides God, it's going to fail you. And you will not have peace in your heart. I guarantee it. If it's set upon the President of the United States, you're going to get very, 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 very unpeaceful, I guess you could say. Saying that the wrong way, but the word was not coming to my mind. Disappointed. Yeah. Disappointed. I don't care if he's Republican or Democrat. You're going to lose your peace really quick. Because they're going to do something you don't like. The government of the United States. You put your faith and your trust and your heart upon Jesus Christ. He's never failed anybody. Not one time. Even the Word of God. A great love for the Word of God will produce great peace in your heart. And everyone is looking for peace. Everyone wants peace. Your heart and your conscience is never going to rest until it is settled upon the Word of God. You think about those old-time compasses. I don't know if anybody's ever used one or not. You'd hold that compass in your hand and that needle would shake around until it got to the north and then it would stop and it would be settled. Do you know that's the way your heart's going to be until you settle it upon God and settle it upon Jesus Christ and His Word? It's going to shake and it's going to tremble and it's not going to have peace until it settles right there on the north where God is at. The psalmist had peace. We see different ways that he had peace. He had peace with God. And by the way, he was not having a great life in the time that he wrote this. But he had peace with God. He said in verse number 161, he said, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. God had let some persecution and trouble come into his life, but he wasn't going to let that offend him. He said, because my heart is in awe of your word, God. Amen. You know, God might let some things come into your life, some trouble and some persecution come into your life. You better have your heart set upon God and have peace with God. Amen. Hey, God is letting it come into my life? Okay. Maybe I feel like I don't deserve it. Okay. God, this trouble's happening in my life. Peace with God. He's in control. Stand in awe of His Word. Look to God anyway. Serve God anyway. Be at peace with God. He says in verse number 164, he says, 7 times a day do I praise thee of thy righteous judgments. He says, I'm going to keep on praising God even in the midst of bad times. Amen. Even though God's letting some things happen in my life, yes, I'm going to keep on praising God. We can have peace with God, and we all ought to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You look to the cross. You look to Jesus Christ. That's why we come to church all the time, so we can hear about Jesus Christ and the cross and the peace that we have through Him. I don't want to forget about that. I know the tendency of my heart. I know the tendency of human hearts. And that is to go away from God, not have peace with God. Amen. Had it not been for the Word of God, I would have died a long time ago. I would have went away from God a long time ago. Amen. If it had not been for the Word of God. He had peace with God. He had peace with himself as well. He said in verse number 163, he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Tell you what, the Word of God helped him to put to death the sin that was troubling him. Helped to keep him away from sins. You know, the Word of God will do that. It'll point things out in your life and help you to root those things out, and you can have peace with yourself. Amen. Why do you destroy your life? Why do I destroy my life? Because we're sinners. Because we let things creep in. We need the Word of God to point those things out and say, hey, Jeff, hey, you. You need to get those things out of your life because you're going to destroy yourself if you don't get those things out of your life. You better get that sin out of your life. Amen. That's what the Word of God will do. And we can have peace with ourselves, because if we don't, we'll destroy ourselves. Nobody here is going to be an exception to that rule. He had peace with himself. The psalmist had peace with himself. Have you found peace with yourself this evening? The Bible will give us the remedy and the instruction for having peace with others. Well, don't you know it's a hard thing to get along with people sometimes? But the Word of God gives us the remedy for how to get along with other people. We are told to love our neighbors, to love our enemies. The Bible tells us love will cover a multitude of sins. How are we going to get along with other sinners in this world that are just as bad as you are? The Bible tells us it's by love. It's by love. How are you going to love your neighbor that you don't agree with? How are you going to get along with that coworker that you don't like and that you just can't stand sometimes and just gets under your skin? Love. Love. You're going to have to love them. Now, that doesn't mean that you agree with everything that they do or partake in everything that they do or anything like that, but that means that you have to love that person and get along with that person as best you can. Love will cover a multitude of sins. The Word of God tells you those things in His Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Hey, don't try to get back at that other person. Don't try to take revenge on that person. Instead, love that person. Overcome evil with good. How are we going to win the world? How are we going to win souls? By love. By love. People that we don't agree with. People we don't like. Have you obtained that peace? Only true and perfect peace can come from God. It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 to 4, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Man, why don't we have that peace sometimes? Why don't I have that peace sometimes? Well, my mind gets on the circumstances. It doesn't get on God. I ought to keep it on God. I can have that peace that I need. We're prone to wonder sometimes. We're prone to get away from God. We're prone to anxiety and worry about the circumstances of life. But God, He's given us His Word to settle our hearts and settle our minds. The Word of God doesn't change. We can go to it day after day after day. We are so blessed in this country to have the printed Word of God. Jesus Christ reassured His disciples in their time of fear and trouble. He says, "I'm leaving you, but I don't want you to be troubled." He says, "I'm leaving you with some peace. My peace I leave with you." Do you have that peace here this evening? Because if you don't have that peace in your heart, you're going to quit. You're going to get offended. You're going to stop. We've got to have that peace in our hearts because of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you were also called into one body, and be thankful." He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I was reading that portion of Scripture. Do you know what comes right before the peace of God that Paul was talking about? Love. He said, put on charity. You've got to have love first. Then comes peace. You know what comes right after peace? The Word of God. Did you know that peace is sandwiched right in between love and the Word of God? Right there. You must have love and the Word of God to have peace. Do you have that peace tonight? Obtaining peace will give way to a great blessing, and that blessing is the blessing of freedom. The psalmist says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Boy, he had some freedom. He said, "I don't care what happens in life. I don't care what comes my way. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep right on going. Nothing shall offend them." He had great freedom. Amen. Did you know that we live in a free country today, but there are millions and millions of people who are enslaved? They're not free. They're enslaved to the opinions of other people. They're enslaved to all different kinds of things, and they are not free, but the psalmist had freedom. I told you before that an offense is a stumbling block or an obstacle. And this psalmist says, nothing's going to be a stumbling block or an obstacle to me because I have great, great freedom. I saw a video been a couple of months ago, and you may have seen it. There was a guy who walked into a convenience store. And this is in America. Walked into a convenience store. He looked like a man. He walked like a man. He was built like a man. He had a voice like a man. He had about shoulder length hair, and he was carried a purse, but he looked like a man. Maybe you've seen it. He walked in, and the attendant there it was a convenience store. The convenience store clerk called him sir. Did you know that he got so offended by that? He says, "It's ma'am. It is not sir. It's ma'am." He got so angry, walking around, throwing things around in the store. He says, "I'm going to call your manager. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I am not a sir. I am a ma'am." He was so offended. Did you know that that man was not free? He was not free. He was enslaved to a label that he thought that he had the right to. He was offended. He wasn't going to go on his day, not one step more, stop dead in his tracks because someone had called him a sir. Let us not be that way. Let us not be stopped dead in our tracks because of being offended. We have freedom. There ought to be nothing that should offend us. But yet Christians today can get so offended by things that the Word of God has to say. They do not love the Word of God the way that we ought to. Nothing ought to be a stumbling block to us. Let them call us whatever they want to call us. That's fine. Don't become offended. Don't let that stop you in your service for the Lord. Don't become offended. We think of John the Baptist. He was thrown into prison for preaching against adultery, and he became offended. Became offended. Thrown him into prison. Fixing to get his head cut off. I think he was sitting there in prison, and he was thinking, man, Jesus Christ is supposed to be the Messiah. Jesus Christ is my cousin. I've been serving Him. I've been doing what's right. I've been preaching against sin. I've been preaching about Him and telling everyone that He is the Messiah, the one to come. And here I am stuck in prison. I'm not supposed to be here. He's a great miracle worker. And He can't get me out of jail, and I'm John the Baptist. Of course, John the Baptist might have had a little bit more humility than I would or anybody else. He says, I'm going to go tell my disciples, you go and you ask Jesus Christ, hey, are you the one that's supposed to come, or do we look for another? Because you don't seem that great to me anymore. I'm in prison. The disciples of John the Baptist went and talked to Jesus Christ, and they said, hey, John the Baptist has sent us over here, and he wants to know, hey, are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? Jesus Christ said, well, you go and tell John the Baptist, the eyes of the blind are opened. The lame can walk and the deaf can hear. There's still a lot of stuff going on. The Word of God is still true. And He says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Yeah. You know, we as Christians can become offended. You know, we just don't have the things that we ought to have, or things, circumstances aren't like we want them to be. Did you know?